All right, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but our economy is actually succeeding. And how funny a world we now live in, where the success of our economy is actually bad news for markets and bad news for Biden. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Intel Show. I am Trish Regan. And indeed, our markets are down more than 300 points right now at midday, in part because, well, investors are worried that the Fed might pull back, even though, by the way, Jerome Powell told us 2 days in a row, he's there. He's ready, willing, and able to do whatever it takes, and he doesn't see the economy as getting out of the woods anytime soon. Well, that's magic, right, in some investors' ears, and it's magic to the Biden administration's ears, because the Biden administration wants to get this $1.9 trillion stimulus through, even though a lot of this money isn't going to be spent in the here and now. The schools are a great example of this. $128 billion that they want to reopen schools in 2021. But guess what? Only $6 billion of this is actually going to be spent in 2021. So the extra $122 billion is going to be spent over the next 7 years. Give me a break. I mean, this is in part, right, some of the bulk of the spending that's going to be very pork-laden, shall we say. And so when you start to see that the economy is coming back, well, it logically means you're not going to get as much stimulus. And so we are getting concerned. I'm certainly concerned about inflationary pressures right now. I don't know how the Fed, which is always late to the party, keep in mind, can continue really, you know, actively trying to stimulate this economy. I don't know how our federal government, for that matter, can actively stimulate this economy when things are looking this good. Okay, durable goods orders today up way more than anybody thought. You think about how that comes on the heels of retail sales orders, nearly twice as high as anybody thought. And then you think about how that compares and contrasts with the PPI, the producer price index, which has already shown producer prices are going up. So again, this all amounts to concerns about inflation. Inflation is a real and horrible thing and a very difficult thing to fight. One of the challenges that we have seen in the past, certainly during the Obama-Biden years, is that you got a lot of inflation. You got a lot of inflation in asset prices in the markets. You didn't get any inflation in the real economy, right? It's not like wages went up, but you did get a lot of inflation in the markets. And so inadvertently, our Federal Reserve actually created a haves and have-nots scenario with the middle class increasingly getting squeezed. If you had assets to invest, guess what? You did well. Meanwhile, I want to take a quick look at GameStop today and AMC surging volume, really just out of control, volume significantly ahead of where we've seen it previously. And so it's minus any kind of real news, right, to juice this thing. You've got the CFO stepping down from GameStop. Jim Bell is his name. He announced this recently, and he's going to step down next month. But that's really the only piece of news. So what's driving this? Some people believe the Reddit traders are back. Wall Street Bets back in action. That could be. Anyway, so again, we're seeing some upside there in GameStop and in shares of AMC. That's weighing a little bit on markets because it makes sort of the regular investing crowd a little bit nervous. But really, fundamentally, I think this comes back to concerns that the Fed is going to have to pull back. Concerns that Joe Biden is not going to get what he wants. Speaking of not getting what he wants, looks like he's not going to get this near lady after all, this internet, frankly, troll, this Twitter troll. She went after me. I mean, just unbelievable. This is a person who really is nothing more than a political hack. She may masquerade as some kind of policy wonk. She wants to be head of the OMB. Well, you know, even her own party is coming out against her. Good for Joe Manchin. We're going to talk about the dangers of putting people that are just political hacks in very powerful positions. That's next. Oh, poor Neeratanden, Not so much. I've been targeted by Neeratanden on Twitter. You know, I found it odd at the time. She's gone after me a couple times over the years, in 2020, also in 2016. And I remember thinking, why would this like so-called policy wonk be trolling a journalist, an opinion maker, on a social media platform? And the short answer is, well, this is not a policy wonk, right? Nor was she ever a policy wonk. Instead, she was and is a political hack. I don't like those words, frankly, but I'm not sure how else to describe behavior like this. To be clear, I was not the only one she went after. I mean, she really targeted people consistently, senators, Congress people, clearly journalists. And that's not cool. All right. And if there's anything that we've learned in this new world, it's that that is not okay. This was a regular occurrence for this woman. And you know what? It didn't go unnoticed. And that's a good thing, by top people in Washington on both sides of the aisle, right? You know, I'd actually forgotten about her attacking me on Twitter. I forgot about everything until this whole ordeal came up and her appointment was announced, and they said that they wanted to try and get her through Congress. And then it came up that, oh, you know, she actually was going back and deleting tweets, and she apologized to Congress about her tweets. And I went back, and yeah, turns out she deleted the ones about me. So she's offering up this apology, but you know what? Congress isn't buying it. I'm not buying it either. You know, fortunately for our nation, Neera Tanden will most likely not become the head of the Office of Management and Budget. But here's the thing. What does it tell us about the Biden administration that they're willing to put this woman, such a partisan individual, into such a critical position to begin with? I mean, it tells us that they are what they are. You know, if a Republican, by the way, goes after anyone on Twitter, oh my goodness. And let me just add to this. I don't like that kind of troll environment. I don't troll people. I mean, you hear me say things about the Biden administration or about Hillary Clinton and some of her challenges. You've heard me talk about sort of more, you know, the people that are running for president. I don't go after individuals like this woman did. And I've never understood people that really do. I mean, there's just no point attacking individuals or getting into these massive Twitter fights. You know, look, I'm not saying it's never happened, but it's certainly something I try to guard myself against. And I don't appreciate it and don't respect when a woman like that does this. And this is exactly what she did. As Politico wrote, just about everyone could see that Neera Tanden's nomination to head the Office of Management and Budget was beleaguered from the beginning. Everyone, that is, except the White House. So what is it that the White House is missing? I mean, I'd argue it's like, you know, some decency, right? Klain, the chief of staff, is out there telling MSNBC, oh, we're going to get her through. And if we don't get her through, we're going to find an appointment for her that doesn't need to have congressional approval. Great. You see, again, they get all upset when people on the right take aim at some on the left on Twitter. And again, I'm not condoning it. But when it's the other way around, it doesn't matter. Senator Joe Manchin, you know what? He's really proving that he can stand up to this nonsense, that he can stand up for his values. And I'll tell you, this is a time when America needs some values. So kudos to him. Senator Joe Manchin, he's being accused of being sexist. Of course, sexist, because some on the left are failing to support Ms. Tanden. Nonetheless, he is undeterred and he has denied that sexism is playing any role in this. He says, let me share his statement with you. I have carefully reviewed Neera Tanden's public statements and tweets that were personally directed towards my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, from Senator Sanders to Senator McConnell and others. I believe her overly partisan statements will have a toxic and detrimental impact on the important working relationship between Congress and the next director of the Office of Management and Budget. For this reason, I cannot support her nomination. Tanden has tried, as I said, to soften her past. She's trying to give this apology. She's deleting all these tweets, including ones she directed at me, but no one is buying it. Republican Senator Susan Collins, Senator Mitt Romney, they both say they will not vote for her. So, you know what? This is a good thing for America. We need people to stand up to the insanity, the nastiness of the moment, and it would be a good thing if Biden's administration could actually follow through and do the same. I don't have very high expectations. Okay, meanwhile, let's talk again about this economy. Is this a sign of the times? Nobody's buying lingerie. They're buying hand sanitizer instead. Wait to hear what L Brands has to say about that and why they're closing 50 more Victoria's Secret stores. L Brands announcing that it is closing 50 more Victoria's Secret stores this year. This is in addition to the 250 it closed in 2020. And here's what's interesting. They're opening up 49 new Bath and Body Works stores in the U.S., as well as one in Canada. Interestingly, none of these are going to be mall stores. They're all going to be sort of standalone stores. What an interesting sign of the times. They're saying that sales of soap and hand sanitizer are through the roof and help them to post a record fourth quarter. So very interesting, right? They're getting away from the mall format. putting these stores in standalone locations, right? Because maybe people don't want to go to the mall so much anymore, given their concerns about the virus. And so we're seeing a shift, if you would. It's curious to see how long this shift really lasts, but so much for lingerie. Welcome the hand sanitizer. That's what we're seeing. Anyway, again, the company announcing 50 store closures for Victoria's Secret on the heels of 250 last year. And interestingly, it is looking to spin off the Victoria's Secret brand. There was a report in the New York Times, I should say, that Goldman Sachs is looking to pitch some private equity firms about a potential takeover. Those pitches are happening as early as this week. And that's an interesting thing. I mean, this is if you ask me, a really tremendous brand. Victoria's Secret really is a standalone, and there's so much that could be done with it from a media perspective even. So that's going to be the value opportunity there for a smart private equity buyer that can figure out how to sort of transition this company right away from that brick and mortar retail store, increasingly online, which they've already done, but also think about media existence. What is the programming that you could put behind there? We've already seen they've done tremendously well right on the Victoria's Secret fashion shows. And so there might be an opportunity or a play within that space as opposed to the traditional retail space. Anyway, watch that one very carefully. We got a market that's trading down pretty badly right now. Again, fears that the economy might actually be doing well. We sure live in an upside down world. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you download it. Make sure you visit me on trishintel.com. Sign up for the emails, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.